Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, what a pleasure it is. Trent Dilfer later this hour, Howie Long next hour. Live in L.A., it's The Herd, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, FS1. Yesterday was that first hour, like injuries, where was the offense? Listen, this is, there, as Joy talked about, overcorrections happen all the time. You see it a lot with coaching. You have a coach that's a yeller and a screamer. And then and they do okay, but not good enough. So they fire that coach, and they get the more laconic, more laid-back coach. And it's like, time out. There's a reason that you hired the screamer and the yeller. He created some passion in the room. I've seen this in our business 100 times. We overcorrect. We go back and forth. And I do think that there is this trend started by Sean McVay. You can't play any starters anytime. And by the way, Belichick played his starters a lot.
Andy Reid.
Bruce Arians. A lot of the veteran coaches are like, no, we got to do a little hitting here because, you know, you're seeing some of these young coaches, many of them are the ones that are incurring the most injuries because their player, Bill Polian once said, you need 3 weeks of intense hitting. You have to build up calluses. This game is hard. You can't just roll in. And so now you got no starters playing. And by the way, New England doesn't have many injuries. And they played their starters.
It's very, I feel like I've seen a lot of turf issues too.
Yes.
Some issues with the field, a lot of people tripping, and I don't know, maybe that's normal and I'm just paying more attention to it because it feels like there's more injuries. But yeah, I mean, I think there's something to it. I don't think there's a perfect science of how to do anything, but usually it's a little bit of balance.
Yes. Where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong, brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. They have an app. Download it. It's great. Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above. Colin right, Colin wrong. Here we go.
Where Colin was right.
I have been a staunch defender of Lamar Jackson since about year two in the league. He's different. He's a playmaker. He wins 80% of his games. Last night, how many quarterbacks in the league could have overcome his early mistakes? He had a bad round one, and by round three, he was controlling the football game. He is not, outside the hash marks, maybe the most fluid passer. You tell me, if you're a defensive coordinator, outside of maybe Mahomes, does anybody keep you up at night like Lamar Jackson? So much of his stuff is off script. Go ask the great defensive coaches like Nick Saban. What keeps him up at night is not the pocket guys. It's the guys that can do stuff even when I have a perfect defense. I will remain a staunch Lamar Jackson defender.
Where Colin was wrong.
My blazing five has been so close the last 2 weeks. 2-3. I have, you know what? My two dogs, the Panthers and the Colts, helped me out. But Chargers broke my heart. The Chargers. I was warned. 3.5. Wrong number. Take Dallas. I was warned. I didn't listen. Pride before the fall.
Where Colin was right.
I've had my criticisms of Mike McCarthy. I have said, what does he do? He's 7-11 as a Cowboy coach. That's after the win. Dan Quinn has clearly elevated the defense. Stephen Jones has, we know in the draft through the years, has gotten them some good players. Kellen Moore is the play caller. I didn't understand a couple of decisions late in the first half, going for a block kick. At the end of the game, letting clock expire, having to put it on a field goal kicker from 56 yards out. Here's McCarthy after.
So we had a personnel, one of our players came off that, you know, shouldn't have come off, and just communication there. So then we were just going to run it down. But the clock I was watching went off the board. And then, clock Kellen had, I think he said a camera, he got blocked by a camera guy. So the communication was great from up top.
That sounds like when I ask my son if he ate all the cookies and he gives me like an answer that's too long. You whiffed. It was a critical situation. You can't blame the clock.
Where Colin was wrong.
Listen, I defended the Atlanta Falcons retaining Matt Ryan and drafting Kyle Pitts. And I said, hey, Matt Ryan's one of the few things they do well, but boy, he does look limited. If he retired tomorrow, would you be shocked? He's 36. He's never had a great arm. He is really struggling to push the ball down the field. Two TDs, three picks. He needs perfect protection. And, you know, in that division right now, where the Saints, the Bucs, and now increasingly Carolina have really good pass rushes, he feels a little bit like an outdated art form. And I said I would keep Matt Ryan. They need juice at quarterback. They just do not feel special. And that division has really, I mean, Carolina's got a big boy pass rush now.
Where Colin was right.
I always said, I don't know how great Sam Darnold is. All I said was, you can win games in this league with Sam Darnold. Just give him a chance. Well, what do you know? Mr. Inaccuracy is now completing 69% of his throws, 105 passer rating, 292 yards a game. The mistakes are gone. The accuracy is there. It's amazing what competent coaching can do. And for the record, they still have a bottom five or six offensive line. This is still a rebuilding franchise. They need help on the back end defensively. They need to rebuild that offensive line, the exception being right tackle. But Sam Darnold has been given competency. This is not a great team. He's been given competency, and he is flourishing 2-0.
Where Colin was right.
Derek Carr has always deserved more respect. 817 yards through two games, four TDs, 104 passer rating, and without his top running back, he tore up for big chunks of that game, that Steelers front seven. Listen, two wins over playoff teams, Baltimore and Pittsburgh, what's considered to be very good pass rushes and very good defenses. Henry Ruggs is emerging as a deep threat. I've never thought of Derek as a big over-the-top thrower, but he's got excellent accuracy. He's obviously very smart pre-snap. He gets him in and out of trouble. He's got enough wiggle to avoid a pass rush. And that was as that. This is a big time throw right there. That's a big time throw. We gotta respect this guy. I know he went to Fresno State, and I know he wasn't a top 10 pick, but he's overcoming some dysfunction with that organization, and he's winning games. And he was the better quarterback easily on that field yesterday.
Where Colin was wrong.
Oh, UCLA football. There's a reason I always talk USC. The minute I fall in love with you, you give up 570 yards to Fresno State. You lose at home to Fresno State. You had the ball for 19 minutes. Fresno State completely, utterly controlled the game. Listen, you know I grew up with the Pac-12. I love my Pac-12 football teams. I've always considered UCLA semi-committed, more of a basketball school, a great global university. The minute I fall in love with them, they get dogged by the Bulldogs. And I mean, they couldn't get them off the field.
Where Colin was right.
Zach Wilson, I said he was going to be, here's what I saw, Johnny Manziel with a better arm. That he's playing, he's showing off. That he sometimes, he's not worried about anything other than, just let me do my thing. And yesterday, Zach Wilson, all he did was my thing and threw four picks. His completion percentage is 55. His passer rating is 56. And I'm not denying he's got talent, but this is exactly what I predicted and what I saw at BYU. He could not beat good competition. He loves to get out of the pocket, and he's playing the position like he's showing off. And that's what Manziel did. It's not winning football, and that's what Zach Wilson has done in the first 2 weeks. And Robert Saleh even talked about that aspect of his game.
It's okay to play a boring game of football. You know, that's really it. And he is an electric dude. He's competitive as crap. He wants to win so bad. But you know, that sometimes it's okay to be boring. And that's probably the biggest lesson that we can take out of this one.
Yeah. Finally.
Where Colin was right.
We said, when the Broncos chose Teddy Bridgewater over Drew Lock, they were telling you, we like our roster. We don't trust Drew Lock. Teddy won't make mistakes. What has he done? He's been perfect. Two games, four TDs, no picks, 77% completion percentage. We told you, Denver, this roster's good. Like, Denver's got players. Denver made a decision on Bridgewater for one reason. He will not turn it over. Smart guy. That's been his reputation forever. Smart guy, completions, And he's done exactly what Denver knew he would do and what we thought when they made the decision they were looking for. By the way, Patrick Surtain, the cornerback from Alabama, is really good. Like, really, really good. Where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong. Trent Dilfer's around the corner. Howie Long, next hour. I'm going to ask Trent about Carson Wentz because I like Carson. I've supported Carson. But I do think there are things, it's very difficult to coach certain things into players and out of them. And I don't know the answer. I'm sure Trent will. Can you coach reckless out of players? Or is it who they are? Big, strong kids running around. I watch Carson Wentz, and I mean, he's doing stuff yesterday, and I'm like, bro, this game's real. This is not a practice. You can't be doing this frisbee, throwing it around. And he knows it's Aaron Donald, and he knows he's had injuries, and it's not really a criticism of Wentz. It's just, it's who he is as a player.
Well, certain things can just happen through maturity, right? Like, we don't all always make our beds as soon as we get out of them throughout our lives. Like, at some point, you're an adult, and you're like, yep, I'm going to come home, and my bed's going to be made. My house is going to be in order when I come back. But, like, nobody taught you how to do that. You just like and grow into things. But if your personality is, I'm going to just make this play, and, like, I can put it on myself, I don't know that you can change that. Like, there are certain things that are just a personality trait. Procrastinators are procrastinators. Like,
yes.
That's just... They put get stuff high off of the thing.
Yeah.
I'm getting it down to the last minute.
Yeah. We'll have him next, Trent Dilfer.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Sunday, it's a huge doubleheader on Fox. First, the Bears take on Baker Mayfield and the Browns. Then in America's Game of the Week, Tom Brady leads the Bucs against Matthew Stafford and the Rams. It all kicks off Sunday on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Check local listings for the game in your area.
Wow. Buccaneers, Rams. That is a game.
Pretty good.
Wolf and Shepherd, dress shoe made and worn by athletes like Gronk and Steve Nash. Talking about the Buccaneers. Crossover business meets athletic shoe. Game for anything. Wearing a pair today, they're great. Shepherd. Wolfandshepherd.com. Trent Dilfer played for a decade and a half, won a Super Bowl with the Ravens, a Pro Bowl, now has a new podcast tomorrow, Beyond the X's and O's with Trent Dilfer, and he is joining us live, the head football coach. Lipscomb Academy in Tennessee, they're 4-0, biggest game of the year Thursday. Let's start with this, I saw this a lot with young quarterbacks yesterday, and it's a very hard thing to do, is that the stuff that worked in high school and college, where you were just the best athlete, and it just kind of works. And then you watch, you know, Zach Wilson, and it's like sometimes you just gotta be boring. And I saw Joe Burrow do some of this and Justin Fields. And you could go back to your early career is that Dak now is, by the way, yesterday, Dak was boring and won the game. He was just efficient. He made the right throws. Talk about that. Zach Wilson, somebody I'm sure you like, but I saw yesterday a kid that was trying to, he wouldn't take the 7-yard flat path. Everything was downhill. Everything was downfield. And I don't know if where that goes in this league.
Well, you nailed it. I think the hardest lesson for young quarterbacks, especially uber talented ones. Now, if you're not super talented and you've made a living just kind of being a system guy, you're going to be more likely to take the easy stuff. But for the uber talented guys, taking the cheese is the hardest thing. What I mean by the cheese is the free stuff. You're going to have a 5-yard flat route. You're going to have a tight end over the ball. You're going to have a back in the flat. You're going to have a guy and kind of coming in and out on a whip route that can get you 6 yards, but you're always kind of working things down, so high to low, because that's the way you were trained in college. That's what you did in high school. You've always been able to out-talent people, and it gets you in trouble. I think the great ones find a balance. As they get older, they realize there's situations where you take the cheese, and there's situations where you try to manipulate the defense to jump the cheese so you can get behind the cheese. It's an evolving process for quarterbacks. The other thing you saw yesterday a lot, too, is you saw young guys trying to do too much. So it's a different bucket. This is when the play doesn't work like it did in practice, and you don't have a backup plan. Because all week in practice, it worked the way it was scripted. As you get older, you talk a lot about having a backup plan, meaning, okay, this is the thing we want to do, right? We want to get the deep over there and activate the safety with an inside cross, and it looked all great in practice, but all of a sudden they play it differently than you got it in practice. You better have a backup plan. And if you don't, then what you're going to find is this frenetic play where a guy's running around, spinning around, making late throws in the middle of the field, and very few good things happen in those situations.
Listen, there, we all kind of question whether the Lamar style could work in the NFL, but when I keep hearing he can't throw the ball and his passer rating's over 90, in fact, it's mid-90s, I said earlier, if you change the name of the position from quarterback to playmaker, which it's increasingly becoming because of the rules, I think we'd all just embrace it and go, that dude makes a lot of plays. But we're not comfortable with that because we grew up with the Matt Ryan prototype. You tell me, has Lamar improved with his throwing? What do you see as a thrower from Lamar?
He's gotten a lot better. I think we talked about this last year, the year before. The biggest issue with Lamar coming out was how narrow he played. He was very inconsistent as a thrower because his base was very narrow. He wasn't strong. He's a very physically strong athlete, but he didn't throw the ball with power and strength because of how he's set up mechanically. Last week, I was watching the game, and they talked about how that's something he addressed finally in the offseason. You can see it. You can see him more sitting in a chair. For the person out there who just wants a simple way to look at it, a quarterback plays strong and is going to be more efficient when his feet are a little bit wider, not super wide, and you kind of see that weight in the back of his legs to his buttocks. He was up on his toes. He was forward. He was very narrow. Leads to a lot of inconsistency. So somebody identified the right stuff with his mechanics. He's worked hard on it. He's never going to be pure, right? He's not going to be the guy sitting on the driving range striping 178-yard slight draw 8-irons, right? He's going to be more of your scrapper as a thrower, hitting a little punch 152-yard 8-iron. But he's going to get the job done, and he creates such conflict on the defense. The offense creates such conflict on the defense. He's also going to get better looks throwing the football. Like, you see a lot of his big plays in the passing game come because the defense is completely devoted to stopping that creative run game where he's the centerpiece. So you're going to get better looks in the pass game as well. So he's got to hit a lot of layups. That's the easiest way I explain Lamar. If he's hitting his layups, he's almost unstoppable. If he's struggling with his layups, he's going to struggle.
So I watched Derek Carr outplay Big Ben yesterday, and I said Derek went to Fresno State. He didn't go to a big program. We didn't talk about him. He came to a bad team. They've been in chaos. And his brother, by the way, struggled. So we hold that against him, right? Well, his brother, the Carr, didn't work. And then I watched Derek Carr, and I'm always left with, boy, he throws a good ball. Like, he's a ball. He reminds me a little bit of Tony Romo. I'm like, who I defended forever. What do you see with Derek Carr? What are his strengths and what are his weaknesses?
Very few weaknesses. He's a phenomenal athlete too. He has great feet, creates time and space in the pocket. His ability to throw off platform, you saw it the last couple of weeks with these off platform, just 40-yard dimes that he's ripping out there. He's got a massive arm talent. He's very smart. The thing I love most about Derek is his conviction. Like, he is so convicted about taking this Raider franchise to a place that hasn't been for a long time. He's playing with that chip on his shoulder. He's been through all the offseason narratives, the draft narratives, all that stuff, and endured it. He's a steadfast leader. He's inspirational to his teammates. I mean, he's the real deal. We've been saying it for a few years, and you're right. For all those reasons, people haven't wanted to listen. I don't do lists. Just not in that game anymore. But, I mean, he's in there at the top 5, 6, 7, 8 guys in the league. There's really nothing he can't do. The biggest improvement he's made is his ability to stand in there with inside pressure. You see a lot of very talented passers struggle with that inside rush. They want to get out of there too soon. He's done a great job of learning the patience, the toughness of sitting in there with people coming vertically at him from the inside of the pocket, maintaining his poise, maintaining his vision downfield, and ripping the ball downfield. So Derek Carr is an amazing talent. By the way, Fresno State's got another one. Keep your eyes out for Jake Haener. He is Derek Carr. I've seen Jake since he was 16 years old. He is another version of Derek Carr. He will be a big-time player in the NFL. He's one of the top players in college football. Not one of the top quarterbacks. He's one of the top players in college football.
Yeah, I saw him this weekend. He's a total gamer. And Derek Carr, loves the sport.
Gym rats, grinders, tough guys, leader. They're everything you want as quarterbacks.
You know, it is. I was watching, and we don't talk a lot when Tampa Bay beat. They're Super Bowl champs when they beat, you know, average teams. But I will say this: when you bring back all 22 guys, there's always been this feeling is you don't. You want some new juice in the locker room because everybody gets an endorsement, a car deal, a book. I don't worry about Tampa's offense getting complacent because Tom is just, you know, he's a cyborg, man. He is just on you. But the defense has not been as good in the first 2 weeks. They don't have a Tommy. And I know it's not Todd Bowles, and I know it's not the talent, but I watch their defense, and I'm like, it's not playing with the juice. You know what I mean? I don't want to make any sweeping generalizations, but you told me this years ago, is that everybody handles failure the same way. They're mad and they work harder. Success is different. And I watched that Tampa defense. It's not what it was, right? Like, you're seeing a little bit of it too, right? It's not quite as intense.
It's one of those danger rangers let's keep an eye out for. Let's not make some sweeping judgment on it yet because you're still tweaking. It's still September. September is the old preseason. Teams are figuring themselves out because they don't practice that much in the summer and the spring. You are nailing this right now. Success is the hardest thing for athletes to handle. It really defines whether you're going to be great or just average and have little, you know, times of success and then dip back down. I think you're right. Offensively, they'll never be complacent because the cyborg Tom Brady, as you said, defensively, they got to have an edge. And you're right. It's not the coaching staff. I mean, they brought it back all the coaches too. So you have all this synergy of players coming back, coaches coming back. You have high expectations. You have the greatest player that's ever played football as your quarterback. And sometimes you can get lazy and go, well, he'll save us. Right? It happens on every high school team in America, every college team, every pro team. Oh, that guy will save us. If I'm not doing my best, if we're not doing our best, it's okay because he'll save us. No, that can't be the mentality. You have to be the one that wants to save you. There has to be an edge to that defense. They have to say to themselves, we want to be the reason that we repeat. We want to be the reason they're talking about us again come Super Bowl time. Enough talk about Tom Brady. Let's talk about the defense. So I agree. This is something that we got to look at and see if there's trends because they're going to win games. They're going to win a bunch of games. They may win every game. I mean, they're unbelievable. But let's see how this defense is performing each week to see if they can finish the race.
Trent Dilfer, 15 years, Lipscomb Academy head football coach, 4-0 again this year. He's got a new podcast tomorrow, Beyond the X's and O's with Trent Dilfer. My friend, good luck Thursday. Good seeing you.
Thanks, brother.
You bet. It's just, I watched them yesterday. They're not making people quite as uncomfortable as they did last year. And it's not the end of the world, but it doesn't quite. Kansas City, by the way, similar situation where we've seen Kansas City in the first 2 weeks. Now, it is Cleveland and Baltimore, arguably the two best rushing attacks in football. But I've seen Cleveland and Lamar take the ball out of Patrick Mahomes' hand. Just take it out of his hand. I don't worry about Tampa's offense. Tom is a barker and a yeller and the offense for Tampa will not take a step back. In fact, it'll probably be 20% better. Defense right now, doesn't have the juice it did in key spots last year. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Oh, your Seahawks, Colin, looked like they were going to sail to a victory over the Titans.
I mean, honestly, I almost stopped watching it because they were really controlling it. And then Derrick Henry, fourth quarter in overtime.
He remains the king. They were 24-9 were the Seahawks and the Titans at halftime. And then Derrick Henry rushed for 126 of his 182 yards, scoring 3 touchdowns in the second half. Tennessee outscored Seattle 21-6 in the final 2 quarters to tie things up and then take the game to overtime. And on the Titans' second possession in overtime, Randy Bullock kicked a 36-yard field goal to win the game 33-30. He is my favorite running back in the league, my favorite to watch. Once he gets going, he is obviously impossible to tackle.
By the way, Bobby Wagner's great for Seattle. He's one of the best linebackers in the last decade, but they've got to have a few more playmakers defensively. Can't all be Bobby Wagner all the time.
Well, I mean, to me, Derrick Henry is the identity of this offense.
Yeah, oh, totally.
So if you can find a way to contain him, which is obviously extremely difficult, but if you can find a way to do that, then you have a good chance against the Titans because I don't really think they're very dynamic outside of that, which I think they showed in week one. He had 35 carries for 182 yards and 3 touchdowns. Tannehill, 27 to 40, 347 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. He did lose a fumble, but nothing spectacular outside of that. But, yeah, you can't let things fall apart like that if you're Seattle. I still like Seattle overall. That division is insane.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we were talking about it. Like, if Seattle lost the division, I wouldn't be surprised. If Arizona won, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, like, who can predict what's going on with that division?
Any team could finish in third, including the Rams. I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah.
I mean, if Seattle finished third, you'd be like, well, they can't stop. They can't stop good offenses, which they're so – Bobby Wagner's so great, but they just made a lot of mistakes. Seattle made a lot of mistakes yesterday.
Well, the Eagles were looking to follow up their big win over the Falcons last week with another big performance against the Niners, but things did not go the same way that they did in week one. Hurts completed 12 of 23 passes for 190 yards and had 82 rushing yards and a rushing touchdown. Jimmy G got all the snaps this week for the 49ers, threw for 189 yards, two touchdowns. Not a very elaborate, compelling win, but a win nonetheless, 17-11.
Yeah, I mean, Garoppolo, the quarterback play wasn't very good. It is interesting. Jimmy G struggled in the first half. He did have, he does in critical situations. He made a couple of really good throws. He made one in the red zone for a touchdown. He found the open guy. But we know this. We know that San Francisco is eventually moving off Garoppolo. And we know Philadelphia is in the experimental phase. Like, these games for Jalen Hurts, especially these home games, they're going to be watching. Like he didn't play particularly well. Now, it should be noted, for the second week in a row in the first half, the Niners defense completely limits what an offense can do.
Yeah, that's why I know that there was a lot of interest in this game, but the Niners defense is still really good. Nick Bosa had two sacks on Hurts. Now, the Niners did also lose three running backs. Elijah Mitchell did return to the game. The other two didn't. So, they are having some issues there. There's a lot of injuries around the league this week. But, yeah, the Niners defense is serious with veterans, and they're going to take advantage of a young quarterback, which is what they did yesterday.
Yeah.
So the offenses were clicking for the Cardinals and Vikings yesterday. They traded scores with 8 lead changes throughout the game. This was a wild game to watch. And it came down to the last second field goal attempt by the Vikings to win it. And here's what happened.
Good snap. Clean hole for the win.
Oh, my goodness. He missed it. Unbelievable. And the Cardinals survived 34-33. You're watching the NFL, folks, on FOX.
That was 8-man football. That was, I'll tell you that too. Like, you just think it's a week 2 game, but that's the kind of game that Cliff Kingsbury in the first couple years lost. That's a big win for them because Minnesota is considered a well-coached, talented team. Mm-hmm. So you're going to forget that in week 9 or 10 or 11. But in that division, you have to win, though. You need those breaks to win and get to the playoffs in that division. You need breaks because the division is so hard.
Tough.
You're getting no breaks in division. So you need breaks to get to the playoffs. It can't all be we just outplayed everybody because you're not going to outplay the Rams, the Seahawks, and the Niners every week. You need a break, and they got a special teams break right there.
What do we do with the Cardinals?
I think I said this. I don't know what to do with them.
What do we do with them? But Kyler Murray has the third best odds to win the MVP right now, plus 700. Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady are the only.
I would put Kyler MVP. I'm not an MVP talk guy. He would be my MVP today. How about that rainbow drop to Christian Kirk? Now, by the way, the two best sliders in this sport are Russell Wilson and Kyler. They played baseball. Mm-hmm. They're also the two best quarterbacks when it comes to those teardrop throws. It's got to be a baseball.
As soon as they throw it up, I'm like, depending on who throws it,
yeah.
There's no way there's not a disaster at the end of this. Like, I'm just waiting for it to come down to the other team's hands.
We know it's not a coincidence that they're the two best sliders as quarterbacks. We know it's baseball. There's got to be something about the ability to throw that beautiful 45-yard teardrop. They're the two best in the league at it. It's incredible to watch.
I don't know how the defense doesn't catch up with it.
I know. It's Arizona, I don't know what it's going to be. That's the best watch in the league right now.
They're so fun.
They're better than Kansas City. That's the best watch in the league.
Kyler just pops, and the connection he has with Christian Kirk is incredible. They're a good team. I don't know what to do. I don't know. The division is impossible.
Yeah, it is. It's if you took Alabama out of the SEC, you wouldn't really know what you're getting. You just wouldn't have any.
The other teams are good.
You'd be like, yeah, it's like six teams could win it. There is no separation with these four teams. As far as I can tell, I think the Rams look like the best team, but yesterday Stafford didn't play particularly well. He was a little off. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
We're just starting here. I got all sorts of thoughts on Big Ben, and the Steelers have messed that thing up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Houshmandzadeh and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Marcus by Goldman Sachs. Personal loan, fixed rate, no fees ever. Go to Marcus.com. No fee personal loans. Marcus.com. Those don't exist anywhere except Marcus. You know, it's important in life, if you want to retire a little earlier and more comfortable, to put money away in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. Even if you make good money, put it away because you can't beat compounding interest. You could put the same money away at 20 as you do at 60, but it'll be worth eight more times if you put it away at 20 at 60. I always tell my kids, start investing now. You don't have to invest as much later. And Big Ben, his entire career, he relied on his size and he relied on his talent. He was never very refined. Off seasons, marginal. It has caught up to him. He's the guy that made good money, never put anything away, and now at 65 is like, oh, I gotta sock it away for retirement. Bruh, it's too late. You wasted 40 years on compound interest. When I heard Big Ben this offseason, oh, he is really committed. I thought, oh, that's adorable. Would he go to two yoga classes in August? Mm-hmm. You can't treat your body like he treated it and never get refined as a pre-snap. I've heard for years they're pre-snap audible system is like Jurassic. It's totally outdated. He never was refined in terms of accuracy, his off seasons. I mean, Jay Glazer, you know, players like Jay talking about this for years. It's too late. And the Steelers, by the way, are culpable here too. They babied him. Green Bay maybe should have given Aaron Rodgers a heads up on drafting Jordan Love, but they had a right. Aaron had three straight declining years. They had a right to draft him, just give him a heads up. But every time they consider moving to another quarterback or drafting one, you know, Ben freaked out. Well, he wasn't committed to his body for 15 years like Brady. Brady's different. When Brady said, hey, I want Garoppolo out of here, which he would never admit to, but that was the rumor, Brady gave you no reason to doubt him. He had committed for years. He was showing no decline. But Ben's been showing decline for years. It's week two, and he looks old. And it's just a great example. Put your money away early, not just late. Because if you're telling me now, I am all in. You've taken hits for 15 years. You could have gotten rid of the ball earlier. You could have put more time into your off seasons. You could have refined your pre-snap reads, and you just did it on talent. And by the way, I've never had that kind of talent, so I can't relate to it. Like, I've had to grind my whole life in my business. Maybe if I had the smoothest voice and looked like George Clooney, maybe I'd be lazy. I'd show up and boom, ratings. I can't really relate to maybe it's really hard when you have that much talent to work really, really hard. But I've seen a lot of Michael Jordans do it, and I've seen a lot of Peyton Mannings do it. And I think it's caught up with him. I think the Steelers are in for a long decade. I think they're trapped unless they hit big on a quarterback, which you all know that's a 50-50 proposition, especially when you're drafting 17th. Here's Big Ben yesterday.
Right now, my play's just not good enough. If I play better, we have a chance to win the football game. And so that loss, I'll take that. It's frustrating because it put a lot of stinking time in, more than I probably ever have. And you know, I'm not really sure. I'm just got to get it figured out, though, because I am frustrated that I'm not playing well enough.
So I want to shift to this. I watched the Colts-Ram game in its entirety, and it was a go-either-way game. Rams didn't play particularly well. Colts played better than last week, but it, you know, it's the NFL. It's a go-either-way game with 4 minutes left. So, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Sam Darnold, and Carson Wentz can all be sort of play extenders. They're super athletic. They're bigger guys. They extend plays. It worked in high school, it worked in college, and it can work in the NFL. But I've watched, it's reckless. You ideally, you don't want your quarterback to be reckless, but there's such an upside with Wentz and Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. But I have watched Andy Reid coach the reckless out of Mahomes. Brian Daboll coach some of the reckless out of Josh Allen. I'm watching Matt Rhule coach a lot of the reckless out of Sam Darnold. I watched Carson Wentz yesterday. I'm not sure he can do it. And I've said before, there's two things I'm not sure you can coach guys into or out of. Indifference. Some guys just don't, they don't love the sport. Now, Ben Simmons likes basketball. He doesn't love it like Kobe or MJ. He likes it. The other one is reckless. If you grow up in the Dakotas, you hunt, you fish, your ATVs, you're rough, you wrestle with brothers, you're just kind of you're a big reckless athlete and it's always worked. Hey, don't do that. It's hard. I don't know if you can coach out of it, but it is interesting. You have to be special in this league at quarterback. We all know that. This is not some revelation. And the Colts, I will defend them to the end. They had to get special at quarterback. You watched them with Phillip Rivers last year. You watched them with Jacoby Brissett. The roster is set. So they needed juice. And as you know, there's not a lot available. They probably kicked the tires on Sam Darnold. But Frank Reich had a relationship with Carson Wentz, so they brought him in. And I will defend it. But here's my takeaway. I saw a story this morning. Joy had reported this earlier. Carson Wentz has both ankles are hurt. And they're doing tests today. And a lot of this stuff, if you watch the game, it's just self-inflicted. He's just reckless. As I've said many times on this show, my agent always says this. Employers make a decision on you about a year to 2 years before they announce it. And the Colts could get out of this contract with Wentz at the end of this year, and it wouldn't be a horrible cap hit. It'd be a cap hit like 15 million, but it wouldn't be horrible. But in 2 years, they can get out of it, and they're fine. I do think the Colts are looking at this, the preseason injury, this injury, his play, and I think deep down they would never acknowledge it because you got to keep the glue, you got to keep it together. But I think when you watch Carson Wentz play, my takeaway would be if I was Chris Ballard, I know I've got to move off this in 2 years. I can't live like this. I mean, first of all, Carson Wentz gives me anxiety to watch. I literally, it hurts. It's anxiety. And that's the first thing. The second thing is you can't go into seasons crossing your fingers your quarterback's healthy. So that's why it's really important. You can say, well, what about Lamar? Lamar Jackson doesn't get hurt. To this point, he doesn't get hurt. Some guys do. Lamar's thin. He doesn't get hurt. Russell Wilson doesn't get hurt. I mean, some guys don't get, they don't. Eli Manning. But I do think what Carson does, I think this just may be who he is. Remember this. Brett Favre never changed. To the very end, Brett Favre never, ever changed. And Brett's better than Carson Wentz. But Brett was always reckless. He'd been reckless for years. He'd been hit a lot. He knew the reckless nature of his play, lost him a lot of games. To the very end, he's thrown into the teeth of a defense with a lead. That's who Brett was. And by the way, it's what made Brett Brett. It's what, you know, your greatest strength is often your greatest liability. You're confident, and then sometimes you're too confident. You're conceited. And I think with Brett Favre, it's just, he should have two more Super Bowls. But he just, this is what Brett did. This is how he played. It's what made him an American icon. And I watch Carson Wentz, and I'm seeing guys getting coached out of reckless. It just not, it doesn't, not that he's throwing the ball sideways, backwards. He's talented. I mean, there's a couple of things Wentz is that you can't deny. He's big, he's strong, he's talented, he's reckless, and he's injury prone. You can't deny his talent. His talent's on display. He for to support him here for a second, he's not getting the best offensive line play because the Colts' offensive line right now is a mess physically. Quentin Nelson, who had to go up against Aaron Donald yesterday, he's been in and out. I think he finally put on a helmet at Friday at practice. So they've got all sorts of Eric Fisher. They didn't know if he was going to play up until game day. So he's not getting a ton of offensive line support, but it's concerning. I mean, this is, I do feel like the Colts, when they get their O-line healthy, and it may be another month, and this is the one division in football you cannot get your act together until mid-October. I mean, if you're in the NFC West or the AFC West, you don't have time. You got to win now. This division, you can kind of bounce around and not have it right. I do think the Colts, when they get the offensive line right, will win the division. But, you know, you cross your fingers. Can we go another 4 weeks of Carson Wentz and this offensive line? My guess is no. Defy your age with M-Drive, the supplement for driven men that supports healthy testosterone levels, keeps you lean and energized. M-Drive for men.com, 20% off. By the way, 20% off with the code HERD, H-E-R-D. Hall of Famer Howie Long, hour number three. All sorts of fun stuff. I tell you, it's just last night was such a gift. It'd been kind of a clunky day of injuries and bad offense, and then last night, delivered. Hour three, live in LA next.